The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Could Old Testament believers be born again? Well, that is what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we are taking questions from listeners just like yourself. If you've got a question that keeps you up at night, I hope you'll send it to us. Get it off your chest. You can email us that question, radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're talking about theology today, talking about the Bible, hopefully at a level that is, I don't know, refreshingly deep. Can I say that?
Yeah.
You know, we live in an HOA, and I'm not a fan of HOAs, frankly, but we have a pool. That's the one good thing about our HOA. We have this community pool.
Yeah.
You got the shallow, you got the kiddie pool, and then You got the big pool. My kids, they used to love the kiddie pool, but now they think, we want the real thing.
Yeah.
I think of our program as kind of like the big pool. You know, the kiddie pool, you know, you talk about pretty trivial stuff, but we need a forum where you can talk about deep things, and I hope our show can be that.
Have you ever heard the illustration about the Gospel of John? And there's an illustration about the Gospel of John that says, on the one hand, it's like a pool with a shallow end where kids can play and they can learn and enjoy.
Okay.
On the other hand, there's a deep end where you could put an elephant in there and it's not going to touch the bottom, and
that's
the depth
right.
is there. And that's true in the Gospel of John, and it's true for every book in the Bible. The Bible has some basic truths which we can grasp,
yes.
and even children can grasp, but it also has some very, very deep truths. And those deep truths are the kinds of things we gain after years of walking with the Lord.
Sure.
But one of the things we try to share with you, we have done these studies and we can share them with you, and you can gain some insights that might not take you 20, 30, 40 years to get. And plus, we've interacted with others who, like, for example, my mentor, Zane Hodges, over 50 years was a serious student of the Bible and passed many of those insights on to me and others.
Right.
And so we found some truth from the Word of God, deeper truths in many cases, although a lot of what we discuss on the show is just the shallow end stuff.
Right.
Just talking about faith being persuasion, that's shallow end stuff, but yet in today's world, that's deep.
We talk a lot about just how to be born again, you know, and that's step one. That's like week one of kindergarten.
Right. But a lot of people don't get that.
No, they don't. Actually, I was talking to a lady the other day. She said, you know, I am a Bible-believing Christian. But, you know, how do you decide what group that you should belong to, you know, as a Bible-believing Christian? She meant denomination.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, you got to figure out what you believe on some basic issues. And the more issues you resolve for yourself, the more you'll know who you belong to. And I said, for example, do you believe that you should baptize babies, or do you believe you should baptize adults? Do you think that salvation is by faith apart from works, or do you think that salvation is by faith that works? Do you think that there's such a thing as a rapture or a millennium? And I just gave some basic things. And she said, oh, that's all too complicated. I was like, really? That's not really that complicated. And I kind of came back with the example that, you know, if we took any other subject, let's say someone is an accountant, or even if someone likes fishing, or someone likes knitting or gardening.
Right.
There's a lot of information that you have to learn to do well at any of those basic tasks.
Right.
And no one ever says, this crocheting, these knits and loops, though, that's too complicated. I'm not even going to do that. No, we expect to learn stuff and we expect to grow, and we don't say, oh, that's too complicated when we're posed with like five or six questions. We all know you have to grow in anything. And I think theology is the same way. You should want to graduate beyond kindergarten in the Bible, I guess
right.
is what I'm saying.
Right.
You should want to get out of the kiddie pool and learn to swim in the big pool like my kids.
Isn't that what Paul says in Romans 12:2? Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
So we are transformed as our minds are changed. And a lot of people have the idea that transformation comes by dedication. That's not correct. Transformation comes by us sitting under the clear teaching of God's Word
yeah.
week in and week out. The points you made with this woman about find a church that agrees with you on these issues, and then you're going to have your mind renewed. Ultimately, it seems to me, you know, the foundational issue is, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah,
what do I need
there.
To do
yeah.
to have everlasting life? You do not want to go to a church that's proclaiming a false message.
Right.
You want to go to a church that's saying anyone who simply believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life that can never be lost. And it should start there, because mind renewal begins with being sure that I'm a child of God.
And hopefully, you say you should go to a church where it's sitting under that teaching. I mean, that's only going to happen once a week, maybe twice a week. Beyond that, you have to feed yourself.
You do have to feed yourself beyond that. But the New Testament principle was, in the early church, people didn't have Bibles like we have today.
Right.
People couldn't go home and go, let's see, I've got 12 different Bibles on my shelf. I think today I'll look at the New King James,
right.
or I'll look at the New American Standard.
Right, right.
Or I'm going to look at my Ryrie Study Bible or my Tony Evans Study Bible.
They didn't have libraries of commentaries to draw.
Right.
Or podcasts
or
radio.
None of that. They would hear the Bible taught once or twice a week, something like that.
Well, I don't know. Do you think so? I mean, there are itinerant teachers. There are people going around.
There were.
Christians were meeting every day in some cases, Acts 2:36.
Well, in Acts, you had a unique situation where the apostles were having the Lord's Supper every night throughout Jerusalem, and they were talking to people all the time. And, of course, you had people who were in Jerusalem from around the Roman Empire, and they stayed after Pentecost because
right.
of the birth of the church. But the basic point was people would hear the Word of God taught, and that what they heard was a building block. And so week in
right.
and week out, their minds were renewed.
Well, they were meeting every day. It might not have been a church meeting, but they were talking about Christ and encouraging one another.
Well, see, that's
and
another
discipling
thing.
Each other, and the young women and the older women and all
okay.
that.
Okay. Plus, you've also got the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God
They've
is
got
one.
Their prayers.
And the fathers and the mothers were to train the children. Every day of the week, the fathers and the mothers are training the children.
But you need that church family community
right.
connection. You need
right.
it. That's how God designed you.
Right.
Here's a question from Jennifer. Actually, it's not a question. It's a statement.
Okay.
But I think we should talk about the statement. The statement is, in the Old Testament, no one was born again. That would have to wait until Jesus was raised from the dead and then the Holy Spirit was given. Instead, they were saved by the covenant of Abraham. How would you respond to that?
Well, Jennifer, I think that is a great question. Most New Testament scholars and most Old Testament scholars agree with you. They would say that the new birth didn't start until either Jesus' death and resurrection, or some would say the ministry of Jesus, but they would say there was no regeneration in the Old Testament. However, it seems clear to me that the scriptures teach that regeneration occurred all through the ministry of Jesus, and that regeneration goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, Abraham, etc. Paul uses Abraham as an example of someone who believed in Jesus for his justification.
Right.
And he cites Genesis 15:6
yeah.
in both Romans 4 and Galatians 3. Jesus also cites that. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, John 8:56. That is, he believed in the coming of Messiah, and he believed in the promise of everlasting life. And so the idea that the new birth didn't start until after Jesus rose from the dead is contradicted by many passages. For example, when Jesus talks to Nicodemus,
yeah,
and he says, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that was true that very day.
Right.
But Jesus had not yet risen. He had not yet died.
All right, that's a good point. And he also says to Nicodemus, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these
right.
things? It's like Nicodemus should have. But let me push back.
And by the way, let me give you one more. John 5:39, where Jesus says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. He's saying the Old Testament talked about me. And if
yeah.
you believe what the Old Testament says, you'd have life. You'd have everlasting life. Not after Jesus rose,
right.
then.
Okay, let me push back, and let's see if I can take Jennifer's position here. So Paul refers to Abraham as a proof of being reckoned righteous, but that's not the same as being born again. And Abraham believed in a future resurrection of the body, but that's not the same as being born again. Where would you find the actual... The Jews didn't expect to be born again by following the law. They thought they would get life in the age to come.
All right. We have a good article by Zane Hodges about King Saul, and it says, God made him a new man and gave him a new heart.
Yeah.
That is the promise of new birth, and you can read that article at faithalone.org. Also, you have the idea that during the ministry of Jesus, he was proclaiming the free gift of everlasting life. The disciples already had it. Jesus said in John 13 and John 15, you're clean, but not all of you, in reference to Judas.
See, I think that's the answer. There you have a very clear example of it happening before the cross, before Pentecost.
Right.
People were being born again.
And you have Simeon and Anna, when 40-day-old Jesus is brought to the temple.
Yeah.
They're both rejoicing that they've seen the salvation of the Lord.
Right.
And they're both born-again people. To say they weren't born again would be, well, what are they then? If they're not born again, what are they?
Could we say that there is like a progress in revelation about when you believe, you're not only going to be raised from the dead and you're going to have life in the age to come, but there's a progress in revealing, actually, you get born again in your human spirit. Could that have been new information, do you think, for Old Testament people?
You know, you already pointed out, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things?
Yeah.
And Jesus did say, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me.
Yeah.
The Old Testament itself had this concept that when we believe in the coming Messiah, we have everlasting life. I would admit it's not near as clear as what we find in the New Testament, but we find it in the New Testament before the birth of the church.
Right.
In the same way, the disciples were born again before Jesus died and rose again, so were Simeon and Anna, and so were Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Anyone in the Old Testament that believed in the coming Messiah had everlasting life. And I think John 5:39 and 40 brings that out.
All right. Thank you, Bob. And thank you for the question, Jennifer. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what happens to confessed and forgiven sins. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.